As you heard John mention, it has been a year, actually, since the onset of the Arab Spring, a year since it reached Tahrir Square in Cairo. And then Ben Ali fled Tunisia, and then Mubarak ran from Egypt. The Libyan revolution began in Benghazi. It traveled east to Tripoli. Muammar Gaddafi's 40-year reign finally ended last October in his hometown of Sirte. That's all history now. The future, though, has yet to be written. And for many women in Egypt, for example, they had hoped the future would be very different from their past. Joining us now is Zahra Langi. She's co-founder of the Libyan Women's Platform for Peace. And I was wondering, Zahra, if you'd first talk about the hopefulness that we heard from many women who were there in Tahrir Square, who were risking their own bodies to fight for the future of their country. What did you hope for specifically would change after the revolution?
Well, actually, we hoped that we would have a more democratic system. And by democratic, we mean it's an inclusive system where all voices get to be heard. So actually, before the Arab Spring, either in Egypt or Tunisia or Libya, many were marginalized. It was not a sexist system per se, but it was a dictatorial system, tyrannical in nature, that victimizes all men and women, regardless of class, gender, and race. And so what we were hoping for after the revolution, that all voices, that is of the majority and the minority, get to be heard. And so actually what we are calling for, it's an inclusive democracy. It's not a matter of the majority of votes. And we hope that our experience in Libya does not resemble that of Egypt, in that many women, women were excluded from the political representation at the parliament. And we do look forward that we can play a major role in writing and drafting the constitution where everybody's voice gets to be heard.
Kind of a rough line there with Zahra Langi. She's co-founder of the Libyan Women's Platform for Peace. However, Zahra, Egypt is a bit of an example. They're certainly not the same country, but the women of Egypt were just as hopeful for inclusion in the political process. And they've been disappointed in what's happened lately with the elections that brought in a largely more conservative Islamist party to majority rule in Egypt. How do you avoid that happening in Libya?
Well, actually, it depends on one's tactics and how one strategically plan for the future. I think one of the major pitfalls of feminist work, women's groups in Egypt, is that they didn't develop more techniques and they did not really reach out for grassroots women. Another factor is that religious discourse tends to be a major factor in our region, and by excluding that, one gets to lose a lot. So actually what our plan is for Libyan Women's Platform for Peace is that we are leading women from different walks of life, from different regions, from different ideological backgrounds. We plan on proposing a national project that will include all, no matter of what ideologies you have. So the thing is, we want to propagate for human rights, and which women's rights is integral part of, and that would also include or getting engaging the religious discourse. By the religious discourse, I mean that is the reformative and the most moderate. I think the Egyptians' experience here is that they did not reach out to the Islamists, for example, the moderate, or they did not even reach out for the grassroots women. So women themselves, they did not eventually vote for women's groups. And the other factor is that the Egyptian took off the quota, women lost a lot. In Libya, when the NTC removed the quota from the electoral system, the Libyan Women's Platform for Peace planned strategically and maneuvered, and we proposed